Yo, this is Douglas from Tagabout, and you're listening to WMUCFM College Park.
Are those early morning classes starting to feel like a marathon? Did Dodge strike again, towing your car when you least expected it? We get it, and we're here to listen. Whether it's academic stress, relationship issues, or just a bout of loneliness, Lean On Me College Park is here for you. Our supporters are fellow students trained in mental health support to help you through life's ups and downs. You can text our free and anonymous line anytime from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. 7 days a week at 301-494-8808. You can also follow us at leanonme_CP for updates and resources. Again, our number is 301-494-8808. We hope you'll let us be a shoulder for you to lean on.
You're listening to WMUC Digital, College Park. This is the start of sprawling... You're listening to WMUC Digital, College Park. This is the start of Sprawling Roots and Mukti crossover episode. We're going to start y'all off with a quick PSA, and then in a little bit, we're going to get into the music.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars.
Sign up for the weekly bike rides every Tuesday around College Park. Don't have a bike? Just rent it from the campus bike shop. Spending time outdoors has great benefits. It raises your vitamin D levels, it improves concentration and focus, helps you recover from injury and stress, and it may even mean more smiles throughout the day. To get more information, log on to crs.umd/Maryland Adventure Program. Hashtag stay active.
I can tell you about Leif Erickson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friends are...
We're going to take a short little break just before I wait to play the music. And my co-host is here. So just bear with me for a few moments, then I'll get it playing.
Some people say a man is made out of mud, but a poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones, with the mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, and what do you get? You get another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. Well, I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. Raised in a canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't no high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, and what do you get? You get another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
That's pretty fun.
Well, if you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men did, and a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other one of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? You get another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Hello, my people. Sorry I'm a little late. You got started already. Okay. Wow. The second mic kind of falls. Didn't realize that. Did not realize it fell. Okay. Good morning, everybody. We are starting out strong today. I don't know if we got an intro already to 16 tons, did we?
No, I just played it.
I love that song. Okay.
I braked and then I played it. I hadn't even logged into Spotify yet, so it was a bit of a rough start.
But it's okay. It's I had a rough start too. It will be a great episode, specifically because it is double the length. So double is good, right?
That's double how that works. Double the fun.
I don't know if we could hear that on air, but we did high five.
Yes, so let me give a quick intro before we get into our script notes. Today we're doing a double episode because, well, Beck had this idea. I have been trying to approach my friends to get them to, like, come to me with a topic idea for Mukti. So this was born out of a Mukti kind of plan, but it really overlapped with Sprawling Roots. And Beck kind of landed on Appalachian coal mining and labor songs. So, like, the Appalachian folk tradition, and then I don't know if it was my idea to focus specifically on coal. No, I think you said coal and kind of labor songs because of the political aspect of it.
Yeah, I think really the 16 tons was kind of the big one that I was first thinking of, you thought of. Because what were we talking about? We were talking about something. And that one was the one that popped up. And I was like, well, there's a lot of songs, like Appalachian specific songs about coal.
Yeah.
And the unionization and... that is like a huge aspect of folk music coming out of there. And this is the specific folk music that got me started in listening to any kind of folk music and interested in country and Americana and roots. So I knew a lot about it to start with. And we started filling it out and getting more into it. And thus, 2-hour episode is born.
Yeah, I really like this theme. I learned a lot. The only kind of song related to coal mining that I knew was 16 Tons. But there's a lot out there. And what I like about this genre compared to, like, other episodes I've done, like, it's so explicit with, like, what they're saying. Like, not only are they criticizing kind of the labor exploitation they experienced in the King Coal and the coal companies that they labored under, but it's, like, a day-to-day testimony of, like, what happened, like, what their life is like, what their grandparents' life was like. It's, like, very explicit, and it's not, like, a quick mention. Like, the entire song is, like, talking about what they experienced. So it's, like, you don't have to, like, necessarily explain it to let people know what it means and then why it relates to, like, a larger political, social, labor issue.
Yeah, a lot of it's really upfront. It's not under innuendo half of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the context surrounding it doesn't need to be as intense. We'll actually talk about it a little bit, but this is largely due to the blending of different storytelling cultures, because the roots of this genre come from a bunch of different places, like between the music that's, like the instruments being played, the lyrical styles, the singing style. So the storytelling style is actually a blend that came together from what's attributed to different Indigenous American storytelling traditions, as well as African American black slaves, their storytelling traditions that had come up over the time of being slaves in America, of telling the day to day, as well as doing gospels and that sort of stuff, blending with this Scots-Irish tradition of song telling and talking about fights, actually. Even if you lost them, the fights were always kind of exalted for being fought, not exactly about winning. So you'll see this a lot where they will be talking about the negative aspects of it as well as tallying the day-to-day.
Super like cool. Larger fights or like a one-to-one combat?
Both.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
All in all. We're going to play this song that's actually next, Whiskey in the Jar. This is going to be kind of showing that chronicle of a fight that is nobly fought, even if it's not the best person fighting it, and lost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So,
see, me personally, like, if I lost a fight, like, you wouldn't hear a word from me.
Nah, they're talking about it constantly. They're like, we lost, but we are so cool.
Better than me. Me personally, I'm telling everyone I won.
And Fair enough.
I'm not making it into a song.
Okay.
Maybe a rap, but.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think a rap about losing is kind of worse, maybe. Go on.
So, shall we play the song first, and then you can explain more about the song tradition, or how do you want to?
I do kind of want to give a background to where we're talking about when we talk about Appalachia and coal
let's
stuff. So we're gonna give a little bit of framework. If you don't know where Appalachia is, or if you grew up saying Appalachia, which is actually how I grew up saying it, my family said Appalachia.
Oops.
No, it's perfect. Appalachia is how it's supposed to be. Crazy.
No, but I'm saying whoops because I say Appalachia.
Yeah, okay. So
I go back and forth. I listen to what you said.
Appalachia is used a lot when we get into the more mountainous region. And as we go from West Virginia down south, you'll get Appalachia a lot more. Pennsylvania is always a sore thumb in this, which is actually where I'm kind of starting to stick it out. They have a couple different ways of pronouncing it, but Appalachia is used in parts of Pennsylvania, and this region is from southeast Pennsylvania. If you've ever heard the phrase Pennsyltucky, people refer to Pennsyltucky, like this combination of Pennsylvania and Kentucky, because this shared through line actually goes from the mountain ranges, starting in southeast Pennsylvania all the way down to Kentucky, really primarily, but it goes down to Alabama as well for the coal. And these were major mining resources, and that's what actually started this whole demographic and people living there. It's like this really big deposits of coal. And we'll also talk about trains, because trains were a massive part of making the coal industry even bigger, which is why we see a blending of trains and coal.
Good tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll add on to the regional thing. I have a map here from, it was like on Wikipedia, so famously reliable. No, I think it's an actual map I cross-checked with the Appalachian website.
Yeah, it's the one in the USDA too, right?
Oh, interesting, yeah.
Because I plug, yeah.
Yeah, I think it, anyway, so it's a map from, USDA is this, one of the sites we're looking at, and then whatever. So it's showing a map of the Appalachian region or Appalachian region, and PA, although it's included in the range, I guess when talked about culturally, it's kind of at the cusp / excluded.
Mm-hmm.
And West Virginia is one of the only states that's almost entirely included within not only the range, but the cultural kind of region. I wish I could broadcast this to the listeners, but yeah, it's kind of you see the entire range, and there's a light red outline, then a darker red, and then the darkest red is kind of the inner Appalachia that has always been included in the cultural definition of the region. So include cities Charleston, Virginia, not South Carolina, Bristol, is that also
Knoxville, Asheville, Chattanooga.
Oh, Charleston, West Virginia, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what Beck said. So if you guys can get a mental picture of that, it includes those areas, and that's because they all have a similar kind of cultural similarity, which transcends the state boundaries, mm-hmm. I would say.
Going as far south as Birmingham, Alabama, which...
That's surprising.
Yeah, culturally, it's very interesting. Even though coal is not as much, so we don't see as many coal-specific songs coming out of Alabama, but you do see the introduction of... Alabama's was a massive slave state, a massive plantation state, and you see a lot of those African-American music traditions, including things like the banjos, and this mm-hmm. massive overlap with blues music coming from Mississippi Delta and that bluegrass and that stuff bleeding into Alabama and being introduced up north. You also have it coming from North Carolina, which is a massive hub of...
Bluegrass, mm-hmm. right? Or not so much?
Partially with bluegrass, for sure, but it was massive slave state and also a massive contributor to coal. Because Asheville, North Carolina is there. That whole western little clip of North Carolina's mountain regions, and very famously mountain regions, and had a lot of difference culturally from the coastal side of North Carolina, and is very, very distinctly always been Appalachian. So very permeable thing. And that's also another thing. There's huge southern proximity, lots of tie-ins with all of that, and then also it's tying into this Irish, Scots-Irish specifically, music tradition that was in this whole mountain range. So if you don't know, Appalachia has a massive Scots-Irish population, which is specifically Scots-Irish. It is not Scottish, it is not Irish, it's Scots-Irish, which is something I got to explore a little more, because I thought it was Scots-Irish, Scottish and Irish. No, this actually came from Protestant Revolution, fun fact. Where Ireland is a very famously
divided country of being Scottish and not Scottish, of being Protestant and Catholic, and they never get along. Like, this is a very, very famous thing. If you don't know about this, do some research into the Irish conflicts. There's a lot. There's a very intense amount there. But during, there is this time where the United Kingdom, Britain was trying to create a more Protestant kingdom, and they actually got Scottish people who were Protestant to move to Ireland, to this border area, and become a more Protestant region. And this whole mixture to spread the Protestant belief was created a lot of tension, obviously. And it, in the end, ended up with these Scots-Irish people who were Scottish, who moved to Ireland and they were in Ireland, actually immigrating to the United States for more religious freedom, to not have so much tension with the massive Catholic religion that was very prevalent in Ireland and the issues with that. In addition, a lot of the people who were moved to Ireland were actually, they were sharecroppers. So, which, if you don't know sharecroppers, I will not explain it right now, but also an important term to know. And so when they moved to America, they had a lot of subsistence farming, landing, working off the land that led to them actually not settling as much in cities. The idea of being more isolated was very appealing, to be able to practice religious freedom as well as have land. And that whole mountain area was barrier to the indigenous tribes there. And so having farmers, people who would work the land and kick out indigenous people, was very important to Manifest Destiny and the idea of spreading. Oh, wow. And so they specifically wanted these laborers, people who would be willing to be subsistence out in the mountains, to as well be out there in the mountains, creating a bigger Western barrier between the indigenous people. There, Scots-Irish population came. So lots of things blending together. But they were super isolated, and they were considered lesser because they were, like, working the land compared to people who settled in cities. So you still had that rural city barrier that happened historically and still happens to this day. And you'll see this blending between African-American people who were trying to be more isolated after they were also sharecroppers and stuff like that, and these Scots-Irish people.
Or even after slavery, like, the settlement of this region has a long history.
So you'll see this blending things, and you'll see things like distilling and the fiddle and some specific dialectic pronunciation of words in the music we're going to listen to. Like, that's where that comes from. And whereas things like the banjo are very distinctly African-American, this comes from West African music traditions.
Interesting. Shall we go ahead and play Whiskey in a Jar?
Yeah. So this is a really cool example of this. I think we should play both of the next two.
Okay.
I think, and then we'll talk about the two after that. The second one's gonna be Pound a Weak Rise, which is not as a historical of a song, but is more of a parallel. So this happens in the 60s in Ireland, and it's, you'll hear the same sounds kind of popping up.
Yeah. So just in summary, not Appalachian, but the traditions that will bleed into them, as Beck explained. Super interesting. I loved hearing that history. Although you did have it on the doc, I didn't read it, so it was new information to me.
That's okay. That's a part of the fun.
And I realized I forgot to say, the song that played in the beginning of the episode, if y'all were tuned in, was 16 Tons, the version by Merle Travis.
It's a great version.
So let's get into it.
As I was going over the far famed Kerry Mountains, I met with Captain Farrell, and his money he was counting. I first produced me pistol, and I then produced me rapier. Say, stand and deliver, for you are a bold deceiver. And it made a pretty penny. I put it in me pocket, and I took it home to Jenny. She sighed and she swore that she never would deceive me. But the devil take the women, for they never can be easy. Mushering dum doo dum da. Wipe all the daddy-o, wipe all the daddy-o, there's whiskey in the jar. I went unto my chamber
chamber, all for to take a slumber. I dreamt of gold and jewels, and for sure it was no wonder. But Jenny drew me charging, and she filled him up with water, then sent for Captain Farrell to be ready for the slaughter. A shering the loo-dum-da, why fall the daddy-o, why fall the daddy-o, there's whiskey in the jar. T'was early in the morning, just before I rose to travel, up comes a band of footmen, and likewise Captain Farrell. I first produced me pistol, for she'd stolen away me rapier, but I couldn't shoot the water, so a prisoner I was taken. A shering the loo dum da, why fall the daddy-o, why fall the daddy-o, there's whiskey in the jar. Now there's some take the light in the carriages a-rolling, and others take the light in the Harley and the bowling, but I take the light in the juice of the barley, and courting pretty fair maids in the morning bright and early. A shering the loo dum da, wake fall the daddy-o, wake fall the daddy-o, there's whiskey in the jar. If anyone can aid me, 'tis me brother in the army. If I can find a station in Cork or in Killarney, and if he'll go with me, we'll go roaming in Kilkenny, and I'm sure he'll treat me better than me own me sporting Jenny. Washering the doodle-da, white fall the daddy-o, white fall the daddy-o, there's whiskey in the jar. Washering the doodle-da, white fall the daddy-o, white fall the daddy-o, there's whiskey in the jar.
Come all of you colliers who work down the mine, from Scotland to South Wales, from Teesdale to Tyne, I'll sing you the song of the pound a week rise, and the men who are fooled by the government's lies. And it's down you go, down below Jack, where you never see the skies, and you're working in a dungeon for your pound a week rise. In 1960, a few years ago, the mine workers' leaders to Lord Robins did go, saying we work very hard every day with scarred lives, and we ask you here and now for a pound a week rise. And it's down you go, down below Jack, where you never see the skies, and you're working in a dungeon for your pound a week rise. And up spoke Lord Robins, and he made this decree, and when the output rises, then with you I will agree, but to raise up all your wages, to give to you fair pay, for I was once a miner, and I worked hard in my day. And it's down you go, down below Jack, where you never see the skies, and you're working in a dungeon for your pound a week rise. The miners, they went home, they worked hard and well, their lungs filled with coal dust and the bosom of hell. The output rose by 15, 18% and more, and when 2 years had passed and gone, it rose above a score. And it's down you go, down below Jack, where you never see the skies, and you're working in a dungeon for your pound a week rise. The miners, they went to get their hard-won prize, to ask Lord Robins for the pound a week rise. Robins wouldn't give a pound, he wouldn't give 10 bob. He gave them 7 and 6 and said, now get back to your job. And it's down you go, down below Jack, where you never see the skies, and you're working in a dungeon for your pound a week rise. And come all of you colliers, take heed what I say, and don't believe Lord Robins when he says he'll give fair pay. He'll tell you so work hard to make the output rise. You'll get pie in the sky instead of a 1 pound rise.
So let's clarify right now. They say pound a week rise, like they want to have a pay raise of up to a pound a week, and that's what they're asking and pleading for. So this is a really classic coal song of, like, we're not paid enough, we're in these dungeons, we're being beaten down, and we want more money for all the work we do. And the person in charge being like, nah, get back down there.
Interesting. Yeah, I did, may or may not have asked them before this if they were saying rice.
Which I realize would be a problem if everyone thought that. I was like, oh, this might need to be clarified.
So, not rice. Yeah, I was like, I thought Ireland was more potato. Your starch is derived by other means. No, that makes a lot more sense.
Yep.
Should we get into that next one? Are you going to give a little explanation?
So real quick, and the next two are going to be blues and bluegrass. And you can also, so all of these four are very much things you should just keep in mind, things you're hearing. The chronicling, very explicit storytelling sometimes. With these two, you're going to hear instrumentation that you're going to hear later on.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear this repetition in phrases that you'll also hear a little later. Some of the Cole songs are a lot more storytelling, and but you'll hear the music do a lot of repetition like this and repeat of phrases that you don't see as much with the Scots-Irish and Irish traditions. So this next one's going to be Payday by Mississippi John Hurt, and then Old Corn Liquor by Joe Thompson. Again, there's going to be very similar themes, which is also really important to think about.
Did all I can do, and I can't get along with you. I'm gonna take you to your mama. Payday, payday, payday. Well, the rabbit in the lawn, I ain't got no rabbit dog, and I hate to see that rabbit get away, get away. Baby did all I can do, and I can't get along with you. I'm gonna take you to your mama, baby. About a week ago, I stole your hand with me. I'm gonna keep my skillet greasy if I can. Gonna take care of it. If I can, if I can. Yeah, what happened to me? Well, the house is on my track, and the knapsack on my back. I'm gonna make it to my shanty 4 days, 4 days, 4 days. Baby did all I could do, and I'm gonna take you to your mama, payday. Lord, I hate to see that rabbit get away, get away. Baby, I
Such a fun song. I don't know. That's a really upbeat, which you'll also hear. This really upbeat sound that bleeds through all of it. Super fun. Super fun. I hope you like those last two. I love them.
Those were really good. Yeah, I think that was great to include the song, the roots of the song tradition and the different music that kind of came before or is related to this Appalachian folk music tradition that we're about to go into. I've received some notes, particularly from my mom, about Mukti in particular, about like how she really likes when I do some songs that show where the rhythms came from or kind of break down parts of it. And I think, Beck, you do a really good job of that. I feel like when we're listening to music in general, but with this episode, I really enjoyed
it. I'm just obsessed with that stuff. I'm obsessed with where things come from.
Yeah, anthropologists,
I'm just curious. But we are going to get into some of the actual music from the movement a little bit. Before we do that, again, things to listen to, because this is a very big blending. Like, that is a huge part of this music tradition, is blending of other traditions. There is this population from Appalachia called the Melungeon population, which you may or may not have heard of, but kind of colloquially and in their culture and Appalachian culture, the idea is that they are supposed to be European, Black, and Native American heritage, and people who were just mixed race, and they had mixed heritages, and they brought together and created this Melungeon population, and they're very critical to understanding the Appalachian region, this concept of Melungeon. This blending is reflected in the music you see coming out of the region, which will have a lot of, as we said earlier, the African American influence with the banjos. Certain rhythms, the vocal styles, not as much, but still there a little bit, as well as storytelling styles, and the fiddle being really prevalent in a lot of this music, which is from Scots-Irish tradition, and these vocal flips at the end. I'm not as sure if this is found in West African music traditions. I know it's not as much found in Native American, but it's definitely very distinct in Appalachian ones, where they'll sing a long note and it'll flip a little higher, kind of to a flat sometimes to a full note up at the very end, which is super, super fun and interesting when you hear it. You get these really upbeat polkas and then bluegrass sounding things that come out of it as you find it merging. And North Carolina is massive for understanding, like, Appalachian music, which is and it's a big difference from a lot of Scots-Irish traditions, which have a very slow vocal songs, which are ballads, which we'll hear. I'm going to play a little bit of it, of a ballad, where it's vocals only, and it is entirely carried by this, because this was a very oral tradition, historically. It's super oral, and did not incorporate as much instrumentation, and then if you had instruments, they're a lot faster, they didn't have lyrics, and they were for dancing. This last song, actually, which was a bluegrass song, is a dancing song. If you hear him say the phrase, promenade your partner, there's a lot of other phrases in there, but that is the most distinct one that is indicative that this is a dancing song. So we'll see this really cool crossover between this very Black African American dance bluegrass using the banjo, super cool, which conflates directly with this Scots-Irish tradition of having very punchy music that follows that with the fiddle and very upbeat for dancing.
Yeah. Thank you for that intro.
A lot of music with it.
I know, so interesting. We could make a whole... Honestly, we haven't made a whole episode about this because it's coming to
the end. It's this episode!
It's coming to the end of Beck's episode. But still a lot of music to go. Mm-hmm. So let's start out with Black Lung by Hazel Dickens, which is a song... Oh, I guess I added, but Beck introduced me to. This is following one of the vocal traditions, like the storytelling. Mm-hmm. There's no instrumentation to this song.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk quickly about like the context behind that. That will lead us into the history of coal mining in this region, which is what this episode is centered around. So coal mining exploded in Appalachia starting in the 1870s. And in short, miners faced deplorable conditions and extreme labor exploitation. They lived and labored under a company town system in which King Coal, i.e. the company that they worked for, owned the town, stores, and services. And every facet of life was essentially controlled by the corporation, with people having no political power nor any real money to get out of the situation, as they were paid in scrip. So they could only really spend it at the company store, which reminded me of a sharecropping system where people would get like plantation money to spend instead of like real money where they could actually get out. But what we're going to focus on in this song is actually like the work conditions that people were in, and particularly the diseases that people got from working in the mines, which in this case was black lung. And we did some research and found this article that I'm about to cite is honestly a recent report. So it was the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, so like federal research branch, that had a coal workers health surveillance program from 1970 through 2017, so honestly recent. And like before this, I think it probably was worse. But the report said that in Central Appalachia, over 20% of coal miners have evidence of black lung. So like one in five coal miners were going to develop this disease, which is insane. And I don't know if you have anything to say about the disease itself, but I mean, it was detrimental to health. And the most serious form was progressive massive fibrosis. So I don't know if that means anything to y'all, but it's
doesn't sound good.
It's not very great. It's not very great. And it's really unique to coal because, again, black lung is coal dust, black lung. What is also interesting in modern days, we do have this resurgence of lung respiratory issues as we're getting to the end of coal deposits. So we'll talk about that later,
too. Oh, yes. Okay, definitely. Yeah, I mentioned that. I'll play, Black Lung by Hazel Dickens. Should I continue with Black Waters or should we take a break after this?
I think we should actually only play a clip of this, the Black Lung. Okay. I think it's really good, but I really think the other ones can be super fun and very illustrative of the storytelling for this.
Okay, well then we'll play a clip of it. Yeah, it's only instrumental, so it maybe not the most.
I think it's super compelling.
Only vocal, not instrumental.
Okay, I think it's a super compelling song.
Like it.
And I love only vocal songs too, but that is again how I was introduced to this was through vocal only ballads, and I'm very passionate about them, but I understand most people are not. So here is a clip of Black Lung by Hazel Dickens, and you can kind of hear parts of it.
The mines was his first love, but never his friend. He's lived a hard life, and hard he'll die. Black lungs done got him, his time is nigh. Black lung, you're just biding your time. Soon all this suffering I'll leave behind, but I can't help but wonder what God had in mind to send such a devil to claim this soul of mine. He went to the boss man, but he closed the door. Well, it seems you're not wanted when you're sick and you're poor. You're not even covered in their medical plans, and your life depends on the favors of man. Down in
so that's just a little taste of it. I wanted to play until the end of that line specifically because, again, there is this idea of they are living in this space of being at the will of their bosses, and the boss is shutting them out and putting them on the street even though they have not equipped them with money. They haven't equipped them with time, and they've put them in these conditions where they get these horrible diseases and they can't fight back. This is parallel with the Pound Week Rise kind of vibe, where they go and they're like, hey, we want more, like, we're going through these terrible conditions, and the boss is going no, and this is like the end product. You do this for life, they keep on saying no to you, but in the end you're still gonna die because of the conditions they put you through. So super
powerful,
important.
Yeah, and it was like, you're not even covered in the boss's health plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like a disease that ravages 20% of minors,
insane.
That's just ignored and shut out. It's pretty insane.
And this generational, like, people's fathers and grandfathers, a lot of them are, these songs will talk about parents. Mm-hmm. Not themselves, but parents or older people in their communities. Because they are tight-knit. That's also why she references, like, you depend on the ones around you. This generational thing is really important.
Really prevalent. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about, like, the modern context you have for Black Lung and why it's popping up again?
No. I want to talk about it later.
Okay. Well.
I was misleading earlier. Yeah, I was like, I was giving a little bait and switch earlier. So that was my bad. But
we'll go ahead then with Black Waters by Jane Ritchie. And I guess we can play Blue Diamond Mines after that.
Yeah.
And then I'll stop. To say whatever we have to say.
I come from the mountains, Kentucky's my home, where the wild deer and the black bear so lately did roam. By cool rushing waterfalls, the wildflowers dream, and through every green valley there runs a clear stream. Now there's scenes of destruction on every hand, and there's only black waters run down through my land. Sad scenes of destruction on every hand. Black waters run down through the land. Oh, the quail, she's a pretty bird, she sings a sweet time. In the roots of the tall timber, she nests with her young. But the hillside explodes with a dynamite's roar, and the voices of the small birds will sound there no more. And the hillsides come a-sliding so awful and grand, and the flooding black waters rise over my land. Sad scenes of destruction on every hand. Black waters run down through the land. In the rising of the springtime, we planted our corn. In the ending of the springtime, we buried our son. In summer, come a nice man, says everything's fine. My employer just requires a waiter's mind. Then they threw down the mountain and covered my corn. And the grave on the hillside's a mile deeper down. And the man stands and talks with his hat in his hand. As the poisonous waters scenes of destruction on every hand. Black waters run down through the land. Well, I ain't got no money and not much of a home. I own my own land, but my land's not my own. But if I had 10 million somewhere thereabouts, I would buy Perry County and I'd run them all out. Set down on the bank with my bait in my can and just watch the clear waters run down through my land. Well, wouldn't that be like the old promised land? Black waters no more in my land.
I remember the ways in the bygone days when we were and John L. We gave the old man hell down in the Blue Diamond Mine. When the whistle blowed and the rooster crowed 2 hours before daylight, when a man done his best at $17 at night. In the mines and up mines and up Blue Diamond Mines, I've worked my whole life away. In the mines and up mines and up Blue Diamond Mines, go fall on your knees and pray. John L. had a dream, but it's broken, it seems, and the union is letting us down.
cynical way. My hospital heart said, why don't you leave this old town? So I'll go downtown and I'll hang around, and maybe it ain't so bad.
Okay, that was just Blue Diamond Mines by the Johnson Mountain Boys. Before that, we had Blackwaters by Gene Ritchie.
Mm-hmm.
Very prolific Appalachian.
Did I say that right? Appalachian.
Thank you. Artist.
But it's okay. Falls in line with what we said growing up. I said Appalachian.
Yeah, I said Appalachian. Well, that's because, well, funny story, when I told my mom I'm doing this episode, she mm-hmm. was like, hey, you're going to talk about your grandma, because she grew up in like a coal mining town.
Whoa.
But it was Pottsville, Pennsylvania. I'm like, Mom, that's not part of Appalachia. And she was like, oh, true. So same thing, where it's just like Southeast PA is not, first of all, that's not even very Southeast. That's more central. So
the mountains are still there.
Mountains are still there. Coal mining is there, but definitely distinct culture. So I kind of wonder why that's the case.
Settlers, where the Scots-Irish settled versus where you
had... That was
like
German.
Exactly. And that was an exact conflict that was happening, where you had them moving further south. Fun fact. I wasn't going to bring it up because it really wasn't relevant, but now it is.
Oh,
I think my dad's side has people... Well, I know we do, because we have land up in West Virginia that was like family land. So technically there's something Appalachian up in me, but...
Interesting.
We've been removed enough from it. Mm-hmm.
You've lost the...
I lost
still
it.
In the blood.
I lost the